presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat,
Yo,
the Giddy Geeker,
Hiya.
Tiffany the Technician.
Hi.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
We're the hostess with the mostest.
That's right.
Guardians of the Geekery!
That's right.
We got no guest. We're just going to talk about shit we've seen.
That's right. We're just going to sit here and babble.
That's right.
Babble.
Episode 114.
Yes.
Can you believe it?
No.
Okay. You know that, what's that, the video podcast we were on? Strangers in a Southern Land?
Yes.
Stranger in a Southern Land. What's that gentleman's name again?
Jake Farbach.
Yeah. So Jake... he's up to episode 98, I just saw on YouTube. He's catching us quick.
Quick.
We got to pump out numerous podcasts with numbers in them.
That's right. So this is episode 114. Goodbye. We're now on episode 115.
Thank you, Carol. I appreciate the enthusiasm and working as a team. We can accomplish anything.
Yes.
Like we did last week, we saw Fantastic Beasts together as a podcast unit.
Yes.
Yes.
Astounding. And we even recorded afterwards.
And we posted it today.
That's right.
A week later.
So, I mean, yeah, you can go listen to our fantastic musings on this fantastic film.
We didn't even number that one, so.
Well, it was
Jake, whatever.
Yeah, this, yeah that's
Eat our
key.
Dust.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, you know what was cool, though?
What?
Michael Stewart and Lindsay, who have been on the podcast.
Yes.
They are working on a cosplay of Jake.
Queenie and Jake.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Because they do actually resemble them a bit.
Yeah. I know. Lindsay posted something and said, look, dear, it's us. And everybody was like, you must make this happen. They said, oh, we've already started.
Indubitably.
That made me happy. You know, because that kind of look is
and Michael,
timeless.
Of course, said he would naturally carry around a suitcase full of pastries.
Yes.
It's a good cosplay.
I know, we could work on that.
We have sussed it. Yes.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Timeless.
But speaking of the movie, you can listen to our review, but we all at least gave it a
B minus?
B minus.
B minus, yeah.
B. I think we were all around the B area.
Yeah.
And I would give an A to the Charlotte Geek meetup that was Sunday because Jada put in the thread Fantastic Breasts. And I think that really boosted attendance, so... Bravo,
sorry,
Jada.
No burlesque arrived
No breasts included. Breasts sold separately.
The beasts.
If you like those. Yes. Okay, so Dancing with the Stars.
No, I said Timeless.
How exciting was that?
Oh, Timeless. Who watched Timeless?
I've kind of jammed to watch that one in little spurts, and I think I'm only half an episode behind now. And of course, it's quite the cliffhanger right now. They've been stranded in the past, and their solution is a
now
protocol.
Okay, now I'm trying to remember the show that the
girls
are time
the two
travelers.
Guys, right?
Yeah, this is the Hindenburg one.
Yeah.
That's how it started. Yeah, that was the pilot, which the pilot is actually bad. So if you like the pilot, fantastic for you because it just gets a whole lot of a fuck better. But if you don't like it, just...
Don't worry, it gets
better. Yeah, because I think they must have had a bad director where they didn't like the director because the acting was horrible. And I was like, this is going to be painful. And I watched the second one. Like a month later, and I was like, oh, this caliber is much better. So
I watched nice. A snippet of it yesterday, and it was making me laugh because it was in the 1970s, and there was a supercomputer, and the woman from the current time who was talking to two of them was like, we have this particular computer, which was taking up the whole room.
Oh, yeah.
Has 2 megabytes of data capable. And they were like, really? A whole 2 megabytes, you know? And then they brought out the little punch cards. And I was like, I remember punch cards.
We're old.
Well, we used them in college, even though things were beyond that. But, you know, Scantrons and punch was still there. So.
Yeah, but fun show, and they go through different times, of course, sort of like Sliders, I guess. But anyway, they're in pursuit of the guy that used to be on ER. Who was the...
Like, Noah Wiley?
No, the black hair, the guy, like, he was from Slavia on ER.
Oh.
And he's great.
I know who you're talking about, but I can't bring his name to mind. Or yeah, Gran something.
Grande.
He was very hot on ER.
He still looks pretty much the same.
Which could be why he's timeless.
He truly is timeless. So anyway, the three folks are chasing the one folk, and there's this conspiracy.
This guy, and he was chasing this other guy.
Yeah. Anyway, and there's a conspiracy theory and stuff, so yeah.
There you go.
It's fun. Watch it. Yay. Or you can watch Dancing with the Stars.
No, you
repeat.
Can't. It's over. So the season is over. I was able to watch it with a friend of mine, and we watched, it was a two-parter, so we watched Monday night, which was the final dances for everybody. They very quickly eliminated Jana Kramer from One Tree Hill or whatever it was.
Oh, right, okay.
And so she was not in the top three. Mm. So the top three were Calvin Johnson Jr., who plays, who's the football player, and then James Hitchner, who was the NASCAR person, and then Lori Hernandez, who was the Olympic gold medalist from Rio. So one of the things that happened was Lori's grandmother actually passed away the week before. And so I think there was a lot of sympathy in there. I will say this. I thought James Hitchner did an amazing job. And really, at the end of the night, Monday night, he was the one I was rooting for to win. He had had a couple mess ups the week before, but I really felt like he'd been strong the whole way through. And I really felt like he was the one that really wanted it. Not that Lori Hernandez didn't want it, but she just won the Olympic gold, you know, like whatever. Anyway, we went to Fantastic Beasts, so I did not get to see the final 2-hour episode, but we did get home in time to be able to see the last 15 minutes to see who was announced. And, spoiler alert, block your ears, Lori won. So, she was one of the three that all season long I've said I would like to see one of those three win. Those three people were in the top three. Mm. So really, you know, who I wanted was there. But, you know, there's that part of you that was like, when you say, if any of those three win, it'll be fine. And then when James Hitchner didn't win, I was just like, no. But I thought it was an excellent season at the end. Really, there was dancing. There wasn't a lot of this foolishness that we've had in the past with Gary Busey and things like that, where they just kept hanging on and were not good dancers, but they were popular, so they kept getting voted to stay on. I feel like we really, even the top four, we had four excellent dancers at the top. So that was Dancing with the Stars. I don't have another dancing show on the horizon right now.
Oh, what a shame. Okay.
So we can move right along to...
Westworld.
Okay, so we're one episode away from the end of the season. Are you caught up?
I'm not, but you can spoil it.
Okay, so spoilers. These are pretty big spoilers for anybody watching Westworld. Last week, we found out that Bernard, who is the head tech at this place where the hosts, the robots, are made, was actually a host himself. Mm-hmm. This week, we found out he was actually a host that is replicated on Arnold, who is one of the founders of Westworld.
Hmm.
It was Anthony Hopkins' partner way, way, way back when. And Anthony Hopkins created this host and basically put Arnold inside of him, which is why he's such a good tech with these things.
I don't even know how I can wrap my head around that.
Yeah. It throws up some really insane time glitches. Because all through the season, Dolores, who is our main character, basically, has been meeting with who we thought was Bernard. But now I'm thinking, okay, this is from 30-some-odd years ago, and she's actually meeting with Arnold. And this week, that was confirmed, because at one of their meetings where she's hallucinating, because she is malfunctioning very badly at this point, she tells the hallucination of Arnold that she killed him. So at some point, Her malfunction is so great that she actually killed a human being, which they're not supposed to be able to do. But several of them have overwritten their programming at this point.
Oh, boy.
And you have several factions that are no longer on the grid, per se.
Wow.
And then, of course, at the end of this episode, this was actually a very good episode. I commend Anthony Hopkins, who is a terrific actor and can go from cuddly old man to insanely creepy at the drop of a hat. And Jeffrey Wright, who plays Bernard, really great episode for the two of them, and kind of sad to watch because Bernard, you know, realizing he's a host, thinks he's got the upper hand on Ford, who is Anthony Hopkins' character, and then, you know, he comes to realize he's done this all before, and this is not the first time he's figured this all out, and this is one of several times that he's just going to erase his memory again.
Oh my god!
And instead of erasing his memory, he actually has him kill himself.
Oh,
so they have one episode to go and a lot of loose ends to tie up. I'm not even bringing up William, which is a completely different subplot, or Ed Harris's Man in Black. This is a really, really good show, and it's very, very well written. I'm very impressed because, I mean, if you watch the goofy 1970s film, it's a good film, but it's kind of goofy. And this just, there's layer after layer after layer, and...
it's really compelling.
It is. And I kind of want to wait till after the last episode and then rewatch the entire season again to see what I was missing. Because there's so many little things that you're not picking up on. Musical cues are big in this. The player piano in the bar is, you know, it does musical cues for all of the hosts at the bar. So it's just a really well-written, very smart show. And I commend HBO. You get a season two, but we're not getting it till 2018.
So plenty of time to catch up if you missed it.
Yeah, and I
forget what Carol said and do it all again.
Rewrite your programming and then watch it all again.
Walking Dead.
Oh, God. We go from one very well-written show to one not-so-great written show. Is anyone else watching?
No. I did see
this is like...
I saw a spoiler, so then I just read the synopsis for
Jeffrey Dean Morgan was on Howard Stern today. That's like watching.
I have a problem with Negan because I had a problem with Negan in the comic books, and I've said this before. He's just too one-sided. There's just no way he would live. Somebody would kill him. There's just no way. Somebody would kill him. This past episode was based completely around the character of Tara, which is a side character, not very compelling character, and not a very well-acted character.
The whole episode
was Tara, who finds this coastal community that's all women, because apparently the Saviors went in at some point, which is Negan's group, and killed every man over the age of 10, or every male over the age of 10.
Wow.
Somebody would kill this dude. But so they've decided that this group of women have decided they're their own community. They're going to shoot on sight. Nobody else gets in. Unfortunately, they are all stormtroopers and they can't hit a slow moving target dressed in bright blue.
Tara wasn't a bright blue.
Yeah. So, with, you know, large high caliber weapons with scopes. So it's just. I was just shaking my head this entire episode because it made absolutely no sense. This is a community that doesn't appear, I don't think, in the comic books. I don't remember them at all.
I don't remember Amazons or anything. Sort of pseudo or whatever.
It's called Oceanside. I was calling it Amazon Women on the Beach. But I realized that they've set up five armies here, and I'm like, oh, great. It's Walking Dead, the Battle of the Five Armies.
Oh, my God.
No.
But I really wish they'd get to the battle because right now it's boring.
And I wish Orlando Bloom would show up.
That would be nice too. Or his dad. You know, Lee Pace. I'll take Lee Pace. But right now it's not well written. And there was a couple of moments this past episode that were just laughably bad.
Oh no.
So you started off on kind of a high note if you consider beating to death two main characters with a baseball bat a high note, and it's just kind of all kind of gone a little bit downhill.
Yeah, I heard that this is the steepest ratings drop they've ever had right after the opener. It was like that, got all the ratings, and then now it's just plummeted.
So everyone wanted to know who he killed.
Yeah.
and now nobody cares.
They need another big event, I guess. To...
But I don't know how many more episodes are left in the season. There's not too many more. It's only like three or four, so you're going to end up on a cliffhanger again. And
that makes sense.
I'm really kind of bored with it right now. But this past episode was just skip bad. It.
Okay.
Terrifying some women. That's it.
Mm.
And is saved by a 10-year-old three times.
Carl?
No, unfortunately, no.
Oh, Carl's older anyway. Yeah, never mind.
Carl's way over in Alexandria.
With Jesus?
Yeah. Yeah. With Jesus.
With Jesus.
The character. The character. Not the deity.
So
you... save your letters and emails.
So you saw Arrival a few times.
I've seen it twice.
Do you like it that much?
It is excellent. I've been telling everybody, go see it, but then I tell people... It's basically a pure sci-fi movie. There's not big explosions. There's not sex. It's incredibly well acted. Amy Adams, I've never seen her give a performance as good as this. Forrest Whitaker's in it, and his character's not given a lot, but he does what he can with that. And is it Jeremy Renner? He is probably the best thing I've seen him do. Which is weird, seeing him do Hawkeye for so long, and now it's like, oh, he can. That's the guy who did Hurt Locker, and you know, you see him really getting to act again, which is cool. Yeah, so it's really good, and I would say this movie is really accessible. I mean, you can understand it. There's one thing that's kind of weird in it, but if you can grasp onto it, I think it's a sci-fi movie that's really deep, but that I think most people can understand. And it's still doing well in the box office for that movie. So they did it with $45 million, which yeah. I'm not sure how, because it looks like they spent a lot more on it. But
I heard the graphics are really good. I also heard that people are likening it to 2001 because it's a thinking person. I'm using air quotes, sorry.
Yeah.
It's a thinking person sci-fi, but I think... I have not seen it, but I'm assuming this is a bit more accessible than 2001.
That's the huge difference is 2001, you can walk out of it. You probably need to see it like 20 times to get everything. This you can really get in one viewing and or two. So it's, I think that's going to be the big difference. People might actually watch it when it comes out on video too. but did really good this weekend too. I was looking over at Box Office Mojo and it's doing good. I mean, it was made for $45 million and I think it's worldwide it's just hit $93 million. So not bad.
That's not bad.
But it's, you know, profit. Yeah, so...
For
anyway,
a movie that people
really good.
Were saying, you know, people were a bit gun-shy of going into it simply because it was an intellectually stimulating sci-fi movie and not a blow-em-up sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
Hey, we're smart. Us geeks like smart shit.
We do.
Yeah. So, go see it.
Go see it.
So, smart shit like the Gilmore Girls.
Oh, I forgot about that. So what do everybody think of Gilmore Girls?
And so cool. So,
yeah.
Thanksgiving weekend, Gilmore Girls came out. It was released on Netflix, in case you are somehow asleep in this world and didn't know. Four episodes, and each episode's about 90 minutes long. So it's almost like Sherlockian from BBC in the sense that four episodes instead of three, but really episodes and a half. They were named Winter, Spring, Summer, and Fall, just like the song by Carole King. And Carole King does make an appearance back as Sophie, one of the townspeople of Star Hollow. And what would you like to say about this, Tiffles?
Oh, I have a lot to say. So.
I know you do.
So I have a lot of issues. Like I watched this and I felt very deflated for most of it, to be perfectly honest. Like, you know, it just had a weird vibe to it, I feel. You know, I've watched the show several times, so it's not so long ago that I've seen the show. So definitely different vibe. I think moving from scene to scene is not necessarily a huge gift that the people who shot this have. I think that because of the length of the episode, it was a little awkward at times, clunky at times. I think that there were a lot of things done out of character this is filled with spoilers, but I had a very hard time connecting with the character of Rory. in the show. I mean, she kind of has grown up to be this sort of entitled brat of a 30-something-year-old, and that's the way I read her. That, you know, I think everything in life was sort of handed to her, and she sort of, you know, in the original series, represents this, like, I don't want to be part of this establishment of wealth and everything else, but really, everything came to her as a, because of that wealth and because of that family she came from. And now I sort of see that she's become this adult that sort of relies on things just working out the way she wants them to. And I found her, like, sort of patently unlikable in many ways. I mean, she has a boyfriend she doesn't remember. It's like this long-running gag that she has this boyfriend that nobody remembers. Oh,
I actually came in and saw, like, when he... Yeah. And, like, Luke was like, what? And the guy kept going, yeah, remember? You said you were really interested in this? And he's like, what's your name again? Like,
it was right. Just, so I think it was fun. I think it was a funny thing insofar as if like, Lorelai and Luke and some of the other people that had met the boyfriend didn't remember the boyfriend, but that she also doesn't remember he exists, sort of just feels, like, stupid.
That's weird.
And then you find that she's been the entire time sleeping with Logan. So she's cheating on her boyfriend, and not only that, Logan is also engaged. So Logan is cheating on his fiance, and... I think in some way, I'm a huge Logan fan. Like, I am Team Logan even still.
I love Wolverine, yeah, absolutely.
Right. Sure, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, but I think that you, there's no explanation as to, like, how they got back together. Because when the series ended, Logan had asked Rory to marry him, and she turned him down. And somehow they've reconnected, and they're having this affair, but yet... they have these other relationships, and I think I would have appreciated if Rory had, like, had that moment of crisis where she'd been like, we're both awful people for cheating on these other people, but, like, it's because we love each other that this is happening and in the circumstances of her life. But it was just very superficial. There was nothing explained. And then, you know, to kind of get off Rory, but...
she kind of sounds like a bad version of her grandma. Like, because I like her grandma more now, from what I'm hearing.
Yes, exactly. And then Lorelai, you know, it's like Luke and Lorelai got together 9 years ago and have not had a conversation with each other since, because it's like these conversations about why do we never have children, or should we have children, take place 9 years later when you motherfuckers are 50, and, like,
it's a little late now.
Yeah, and. You know, and...
I did crack up that Luke had his hat on backwards still. And
yeah.
I was like, come on, dude. You're never gonna, like...
Yeah.
It seemed like it was really frozen in time.
It really, it
like,
was.
Like, his life especially. I mean, just from walking in and watching, like, half an episode.
See, he felt... I mean, I will say this. I think... I mean, he didn't feel super ungenuine to who his character was on the show. Although, everybody, with the exception of the three lead females, was a bit of a... just obviously secondary character and didn't have a huge amount of character development one way or another. But it just was weird. It just played weird that they have this relationship. They live together. They live very separate lives. That is a point that they come to, that they discuss, that they live these separate lives, and that it's sort of because of Lorelai that this has occurred. But at one point, Lorelai decides she's going to go hike the Pacific Trail, like, because she read the book Wild. That felt completely unlike her character. And it was just, it played off weird. There's a very weird musical in the town that was very funny, but so fucking, like, so weird. And there was just a lot of, there's a scene where Rory and Lorelai fat shame someone at a pool that really just took me out of it. There's a lot of really bad things, but let me tell you what was amazing about this show was Emily Gilmore, the mother, the matriarch of this family, and to see her evolution after losing her husband of 50 years and all the things she goes through with her daughter and granddaughter and finding out who she is after she's lost this man and her life seems to have no meaning anymore after his death and the superficial lives that they've led. That woman was so amazing on the show, and to see such depth come from her. I really just, I was so glad for that. And this, I will say this, the scene where Lorelai calls her mother and talks about her favorite memory of her father, like, I'm still broken from it. I'm still broken from it. Mm. Especially if you've lost your father, to like sort of remember how he is so. There's a lot of bad things about the show, and I said all of that. But let me tell you, I would love more episodes. I would love to see more of it. Because you know how it is? I'm very much one of those people where if I would rather have something bad, a bad version of something I love, than nothing of it at all. I'm not one of those people that's like, I'd rather it go away while it's on top and just miss it. Just, no, crash it into the ground. Crash and look, back up, crash and look, crash again, back up, crash again, because I know that I'm going to get at least glimpses of brilliance and wonderfulness from the thing I love, and I'd rather have the like a lot of bad with a little bit of good than nothing at all. So, I probably won't watch it again, but I you know, Rory's pregnant, so let's have some more episodes. Okay, Joey, now your turn.
Who's the father?
Didn't leave anything.
Presumably Logan.
That was the last four words of the episode. No, it could have been the Wookiee. It
could have been.
It could have also been Paul that she forgot about.
Yeah, it could be.
So, for those of you who weren't hardcore Gilmore Girls, yeah, which I wasn't, I saw more of it in reruns than I saw it the first time around. That wasn't my show when it was first out, and I didn't live for those days. So, but I definitely enjoyed catching up on it later. So part of the backstory of everything is that the final season of the Gilmore Girls, season 7, Amy Sherman-Palladino, who was the creator of the show and the head writer for 6 of the seasons, had quit the show. There was a disagreement. And so the people who wrote the 7th season were not the people who created that world. Hmm. So I think that was interesting, because then Amy Sherman-Palladino and her husband Daniel were the ones who wrote all the ones for the Gilmore Girls. So I thought it was interesting that Amy wrote the first episode and the 4th episode, and her husband wrote and directed the 2 in between. Oh. So I was kind of like the whole Luke and Lorelai conversation. I was like, so did you guys talk to each other? And right. It's kind of like, I had to pick up or you left this shit. So I think one of the things that I noticed was that this being on Netflix and being this special event was very similar to the first season of Fuller House, especially the very first episode of the first season of Fuller House, where people are trying to, they want to see that world recreated. They want all of those taglines and episodes and everything kind of hashed out. And I feel like in those 90-minute episodes, they were trying to shove in all the cameos, all the storyline references, all the things that they could. My favorite part was Sean Gunn's pig running around the show. And that was probably the most cohesive part of the 4 episodes, was that that pig was just everywhere. there is a very funny scene where they decide, you know, Taylor being Taylor decides that he has to do a festival of all the different countries. And of the 190 countries, only 15 shows up. So he starts running around and putting flags on people's table. They're like, you're Italy, and now you're Yemen and Afghanistan. Come up with something, you know. And Sean Gunn's character goes up to this guy who's roasting a pig, and he's like, oh, the humanity, how could you do that? I could never do that. And then Luke walks up and he's like, you had bacon at the restaurant yesterday. He goes, oh, I'm a horrible person, and he walks off. That cracked me up. There are so many cameos in there, and there's things that happen that you just don't know why. Miss Patty is suddenly very thin and very haggard looking.
And doesn't show up very often.
No, she's in two scenes, and, you know, all of a sudden she's not up on stage with Taylor. But a lot of that is, you know, the availability of all these actors to do these episodes. So I think that there was a lot of stuff at war outside of this project that ended up making it that. But I do think that there was definitely times where I felt like there was almost like three mini episodes within each episode, and then it was broken up. So it was like 9 segments versus 3, and then, you know, maybe 3 more segments within each one. I thought Liza Wheel, who played Paris, did an excellent job with her stuff. Yep. I do think that Kelly Bishop, who played Emily Gilmore, had probably the strongest transitional arc of all of them.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like with Rory, I kind of feel like that at the end of the season, you know, she went off and she was the writer for Obama and, you know, on that press junket. And then she went and did other things. And I kind of feel like maybe she wasn't with Logan the whole time.
I agree.
She got back with him, and I think...
But there's, like, absolutely no...
Well, there was a lot of conversation about the fact that she got the piece in The New Yorker,
yeah.
And then it was kind of like she peaked, and then... But she still didn't have any job, and that she got a little lost, and I felt like she was lost in trying to come back home. What you don't know is, like, where... I mean, she sleeps with a Wookiee in the middle of everything, so spoiler alert... So, you know, I found myself walking away with the last 4 words, which is like, Mom, yes, Rory, I'm pregnant.
Ah.
You know, that kind of really threw me at the end because there was nothing hinting towards that. There wasn't her being sick at all, you know, having morning sickness or anything like that. But
well, she does have that. She has that, no, agree. In terms of physicality, she doesn't, but it's interesting that when you look at her conversation she has with her father.
Right. But then again, you know, once again, that was just a 2-person conversation, so, you know, maybe limited staging time. So it's all very interesting. Yeah. I think they definitely left place for them to come back for season 9. I think a lot of people were kind of upset because the last 4 words were supposed to be this definitive ending, the final words, and it's obviously that nothing's ever going to be final. So I do think it was interesting. I think there was some definite vignettes that I loved. I kind of loved when Logan and the...
Life and Death Brigade.
Yeah, came back.
Yeah.
But I was trying to figure out if it was a dream or not a dream.
Yeah, I know, because they seemed to control the lighting in the town, and they, like, robbed Dosey, sort of, but then left money, and it was really weird.
It was very strange.
Fun, but weird.
So, you know, it was definitely one of those, and I watched it Sunday night after 4 days of Thanksgiving festivities and tryptophan. So I was kind of high on the whole thing. But definitely glad that after a year of you talking about it, the Gilmore Girls has been watched and done, and we can move on.
Speaking of watched and done and move on, I actually finished three shows that are not on our list.
Okay, tell us about it.
The first being American Horror Story Roanoke, which ended as it began, a bloody mess. Really, this was probably the bloodiest season, I think. I haven't watched Hotel, so that might have been bloodier. But this season was just kind of ridiculous. And it ended up being just as ridiculous. So I kept waiting for another twist to happen, and it didn't happen. Everybody was just dead.
The reality show.
Backfired. They did a reality show, and then the reality show was such a hit that they had all of the actors and the people that they were portraying come back to the haunted house at the Blood Moon when everything's supposed to be going to shit for a reunion type thing. And they had cameras all over the place. Exactly. They had cameras all over the place and everyone was locked in and nobody could get out. Okay. And of course, everyone died in horrible, horrible ways, including the crew and anybody who happened to show up, like the 3 stupid teenagers and Wes Bentley. Whose character, I can't even remember his name. He was on there for so little before he got gutted. So, wow. It was just, this was a mess of a season. And I don't know why I put myself through this every season with American Horror Story. I don't. But, yeah, we'll see if I even bother to tune in next time. We'll see. And then I finished Channel Zero, which was a sci-fi, sci-fi original series. This is their attempt at doing a kind of American Horror Story. Each season is going to be an anthology, a separate story, based on a creepypasta, which is just kind of a scary story told on the internet. And this season was Candle Cove, which is a creepy children's puppet show that comes on at strange hours and only kids can see it. And it makes kids do weird things.
Oh, boy.
And there's like a bunch of kids that disappear and are killed in the 80s. And then the show starts back up now. And one of the kids that survives has to figure out what's going on. And this was actually really good.
It sounds interesting.
I highly recommend this one. It was creepy. There's some visuals. There's one kid that is covered in teeth. And he eats teeth. But every part of him is covered in teeth. And it is really creepy. And the puppet show, the puppets look kind of, you know, wow, it's really bad puppetry. But they do weird things with the visuals on the TV that makes the puppet show really kind of like, okay, this is creepy. And there's strange screams and sounds coming from the TV. But this was a well-written show, and I really liked it. And I look forward to the second season.
Cool.
And then I finished Black Mirror, which is, again, highly recommend this one. Even the worst episodes of Black Mirror are really, really quality television. And this is another anthology series. This is true anthology, though, because each episode is self-contained. There's no overarching story. It just all deals with technology. So I can't really say spoiler alert or anything, because each episode is just its own. But I highly recommend that. That's on Netflix. All three seasons are.
Nice.
And did you end up watching more of The Holistic Agency?
I have not. I need to catch up on Dirk Gently. And I need to catch up on The Exorcist. Although, again, that's one of those...
You don't even like The Exorcist.
I know. It's one of those shows that's like, why am I bothering? Mostly because Ben Davis is actually pretty good. But, the last episode of The Exorcist that I saw, they had successfully got the demon out of the young girl, but then he came right back. And then Gina Davis is Reagan, because she's Reagan McNeil from the original movie, comes in and comes in to confront the demon, because apparently that's the reason why the demon came back, because he didn't really take too kindly to being kicked out of Reagan's body.
Oh boy.
And it just took him a while to get back, apparently. Things happen in hell, you know? You get caught up doing other things, watching Gilmore Girls.
Well, I did read the article about they're canceling a lot less shows right now because they're afraid of things becoming viral and going to Netflix and becoming great, or going, you know, so they're letting things kind of go. But as a result of that, all these mid-season replacement shows keep getting pushed back. So now there's stuff like going to start in the summertime, and they're like, well, that's not a good time to launch a show.
Yeah.
So then they'll let that go just because it'll fill the summertime. And if it picks up on Netflix or something, somebody loves it, then they'll be in a position where it'll be good. But it's like they actually have this backlog of shows just kind of out there. And what it does is it's tying up all the actors involved in it in contracts, because they can't accept another TV show. They could accept movie work and things
but
like
not
this.
But TV, yeah.
But they,
I think
they're
one
not
of the shows, one of the shows that's being hurt by this is the proposed Buckaroo Banzai show, and it looks like that may not happen at all now because they're coming up to some copyright legalities. They can't hold it, so that may not happen, which is unfortunate. Man, I wanted my Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah.
So after the Gilmore Girls was over, I went back and watched the second half. I'm not quite done, but the Return of the Ranch. And this is with Ashton Kutcher and Danny Masterson. Also stars Sam Elliott and Deborah Winger as their parents. Deborah Winger, of course, being in a cowboy hat just throws me right back to when she was with
John Travolta,
an urban cowboy. But basically, you know, Ashton Kutcher plays Colt. His brother Danny plays Rooster. And they are two boys that grew up on a ranch. Colt was a football star that didn't do so well and ended up... He did well for a while, but now he's kind of back hard on his luck. And he tried to do arena football for a little while, and that didn't work out. So now he and his brother... Whatever it was, some version of that. But
I'm just wondering if it is still a thing.
Or Canadian football. You know, he was trying to do something. So... but now he's back, and basically he wants to pick back up with his high school sweetheart. She's engaged to this guy that she's been with for the past 5 years. And then the mother and father had split up and then potentially got back together. And then at the end of the first half of the season, she disappeared. So the second half of the season's kind of like... dealing with all the cliffhangers after the first 10 episodes. It's 20 episodes per season.
Oh, and, wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, so there was 10, and then they took, you know, time off, and now there's 10. And they have been signed for 2017, so they're going to do at least another 10, if not another 20. I'll tell you what I like about this. It's kind of like a no-bullshit zone. I mean, these brothers are mean to each other. They say, you know, like brother stuff to each other. And, you know, it's pretty out there. Sam Elliott is not the kindly old father. He is an ornery old coot that has run this ranch his way all his life. And his kids are good for nothing. And they need to kind of get their shit together and get the hell out of his house. But he's... You know, ranching's a dying American thing. So it's been very interesting. I was very excited because Kathy Baker from Picket Fences has suddenly appeared for a couple episodes. And she plays this woman who works at a Cracker Barrel.
That's real, folks.
Yeah. So, the 30-minute episodes, I do think... They're kind of set in that kind of like of a play kind of sitcom. It's got, I don't know how it was shot, but it's shot so everything's a little bit brighter than real life. But they definitely have like 3 or 4 sets that they work on. Deborah Winger, her name is Maggie, and she owns a bar. So they're either at the bar, they're out in the yard of the ranch, they're inside of the ranch. Or, you know, that's typically very rarely do they kind of go from that. So it's really much more of a personality-oriented show. But definitely if you're looking for something just a little different, I would check that out. So holiday movies coming out. We can talk about that next week, which ones we're looking forward to maybe. Unless you have a specific
actually,
one.
Actually, that one, I think, is what I did over the holidays.
Oh.
I had a really laid-back Thanksgiving, and what I did is I picked my favorite director, Akira Kurosawa, and I binge-watched shit ton of movies. And I highly recommend this to anyone. Pick a director. I think for Christmas I'm going to do Wes Anderson, who's another one of my favorite directors. But Kurosawa directed my favorite film, which is Seven Samurai, which is what I started with.
Tom Cruise, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Forgot about that one. For a second. I blocked that out. Oh my god.
That's a good thing. Yeah. I started with Seven Samurai, and then I watched Throne of Blood, Yojimbo, Sanjiro, Hidden Fortress, Ron. I just blooded.
Hidden Fortress, nice.
I that was the basis of Star Wars, actually. If you watch Hidden Fortress, you can definitely see the C-3PO and R2-D2 characters as peasants in Japanese samurai time. So I just glutted myself on Kurosawa films. But it was really nice to just sit back, relax a little bit, and watch one of my favorite directors. And he is really, really good at what he was an excellent, excellent director. And of course, all of the movies I watched starred, with the exception of Ron, starred Toshirô Mifune, who I was in love with for a very, very long time.
By the way, a good director for that, I think, is Lars von Trier.
Oh my god, why would you do that? You would kill yourself to the night. Oh my god.
I just think, I mean, obviously his films are the Depression trilogy, and Antichrist.
Oh my god.
You have Melancholia, and then you have Nymphomaniac parts 1 and 2. But and they're not uplifting films, but by any stretch.
Oh god, no.
But Did he do Breaking the Waves too? Huh? He did Breaking the Waves too, right?
Maybe.
I haven't seen that one. God.
But the cinematography on these films is unbelievable.
I will say that.
And really beautiful, and the way he uses music and the way he sort of shoots his scenes. They're really, really beautiful films. I mean, like I said, depressing, but...
Very.
But interesting, thought-provoking films. So I would recommend that.
He did Breaking the Waves, yes.
Okay.
That was, yeah, if you want to feel bad about life, there's your director. Well, maybe I'll do David Lynch next time. That'd be cool, too.
That seems like a you thing.
That's very
You really major. Couldn't do, over a weekend, you couldn't do Steven Spielberg. There's just too many fucking movies.
There's too many fucking movies. But you pick, you know, I mean, Kurosawa directed a whole bunch. I didn't even touch, like, his gangster films. I stuck with kind of the samurai theme, but he did a whole bunch of movies. But yeah, I even Spielberg, cool. I would like choose decades or choose like 5-year period.
I was going to say 5 years.
But it's kind of fun to sit there and watch back to back your favorite director and how he changed, how he didn't, and how he did things. And with Kurosawa was kind of nice because it was always Kurosawa and Mifune and how they interacted together, which I still think is the best actor-director combo ever.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's how so
try that. And you know, speaking of holidays, don't forget Charlotte Comic Con is coming up December 11th, Sunday. Whoa. Sunday from 10 to 4. Matt will definitely be there. I may be there. I may not be there. having problems with my feet, so we'll see. But some people that won't be there, sadly.
Yeah, I did take a break from my Kurosawa to watch some Firefly.
Ron Glass is no longer with us. Florence Henderson is no longer with us. Mm. And Fritz Weaver, who's a character actor that you would know if you saw him, is no longer with us.
Creepshow.
And of course also...
Twilight Zone.
The young lady from PBS, the news reporter.
Oh, I think I mentioned her last.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did. She died a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so...
Ron Glass hurt.
Yeah,
that hurt a lot.
Florence Henderson hurt a lot, too, because she was on Dancing with the Stars each week when Maureen McCormick was dancing. So I felt like I had just recently seen her, and she seemed in very good health.
Yeah.
And
Ron Glass was only 71, and Book was my favorite Firefly character. I'm probably, you know, Book and Wash were like neck and neck for me. But I loved Tripper Book.
Ron Glass was actually the first person that I really saw at the very first Dragon Con that I went to. And it was him and him talking about his character that made me actually finally go back and watch Firefly because my friend had been begging me to watch it before we went. And I didn't do it because I didn't understand. Now I understand. So thank you, Ron. So
rest in peace, everybody.
Yeah. So let's all be safe out there. Have a good holiday. And and we will be back next week. Right?
Yes, we will. And we'll talk about the end of Westworld.
Woo-hoo.
And Gilmore Girls again.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Ah. And Walking Dead, how it disappoints me. Until then, this is... Oh, wait a minute. This is me pushing a button. God damn, Carol. Yeah,
I thought you were being this dramatic speech before you launched.
Once more into the breach, McDuff.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook.com/guardiansofgeekery.
Yes, that wonderful Shakespeare play, DuckTales.
Oh my god. I love you, Tim.
Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.
Thank you. I'm gonna